But if you want, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 3. Psalms chapter 3. Man, I do enjoy the privilege of being able to be here. Lots of memories for me. Some wonderful. Others, when I walked through the Vaughn Hall and reminded myself about how I used to have a little desk that faced the wall because I never did my schoolwork. And during recess, I'd sit there and do it. Every now and then, I'd get to go to recess because I actually did my schoolwork. But you know, lots of memories and many very good ones that have helped me to become who I am. You can determine whether that's good or bad, but I'm very thankful for this church and all you guys do. It's meant a lot to me in my life. Amen. Psalms chapter 3, and I'm going to read the whole chapter and start there in verse 1. It says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept, and I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord tonight. I simply want to preach for a few minutes on the shield for the shattered. You know, this is a very common scripture. Many of you may have memorized it at some point in your life. And this scripture here was something that didn't mean much to me until I got to a point in my life when I could honestly say that I was at a point where I was shattered. Have you ever been there where you felt like you could honestly, you just didn't have anything left? You know, this man that wrote this was David. We all know the story of David. Many of us have heard about him, read about him, or heard preaching about him. And he was a great king. He was a great man for the most of his life. But he came to a place where his son Absalom had rebelled against him, was trying to take over the kingdom. And in fact, he did succeed in that. And when he did this, David found himself. He lost every friend almost. He lost his family. His own son rebelled against him. He lost his throne. A man that had once had everything in the palm of his hand was now considered hopeless and helpless. A man that once was the king of the greatest nation was now no more than a victim, no more than just a runaway, somebody trying to flee for his life. This man that we look to time and time again for inspiration was hiding in a cave. You know, when we look at him and we see this, that he lost everything. And this is a cry coming to God from someone in a helpless situation. And when I look at this, the thing that first came to my attention was that we have a shattered saint. You know, we look at him and he says, many are they that trouble me. I looked up what it means to be troubled. And this was just in the English dictionary, but the word troubled simply meant lacking inner calmness, or to be in a position prone to adversity or distress. Have you ever been there before where you just feel troubled inside? If you know, we all come to times in our life where we feel troubled when we're in a situation or in something. One time I was young. I don't really remember how long ago it was, but my family went to Gatlinburg, and my dad. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I love trying to make good time when I go somewhere. Me and Brother Brian were just talking about it before church, how long it takes us to get from St. Louis to here, something like that. I like to make good time, and my dad he's really bad about that. And we were in Gatlinburg, and he'd never been there before. I don't know what he thought he knew, but he thought he knew the quickest way back to our condo up there, and he said, we're going to take a new way. I was a little bitty guy. I may have been about 5'6", somewhere around there, and I just said, I got a bad feeling about this. I got a bad feeling about this, Dad. And he said, oh, we know what we're doing. Well, 2.5 hours later, when we finally pulled into our condo and they'd heard me say, I've got a bad feeling about this, we finally got there. You know, I was just a little guy, but I was troubled because I knew that I was not in a place that I was comfortable, and I didn't know what might happen. I was in Gatlinburg. I'd be eaten by a bear for all I knew. But, you know, I was troubled because I didn't know what there was going on around me. I couldn't do anything about my surroundings. I was troubled. And you know, that's something kind of goofy, but really it's no different in our lives. We get to a place, and maybe it's not your actual location, but maybe you're going through life and you're in a place and you look around and you just feel like you don't know what to do with where you are at in your life. You feel like there's nothing you can do, that nowhere else you can turn, nowhere else you can go will make a difference, and you just feel troubled inside because there's nothing else that you are able to do. You know, that is exactly how David felt here. He was in a very unsafe and unfamiliar place in his life, and he was being opposed in every way. Today, you may feel like you've been opposed on every side, and you can't find peace because opposition is everywhere. You know, that's so common to get in a place in your life where, you know, we feel like every time the world comes crashing around us, and we feel like that we live in a society of extremes where we feel like everything's going perfect and everything's going to go wonderful. Or next thing you know it, everything's crumbling down around us. You know, and every one of us has been there. And it may be that you've tried to overcome the situation in your past. Maybe you've felt troubled about this before, and you've tried to get victory. You've tried to get success over this thing that's going on in your life. But you just feel troubled once again, and you feel like the devil's brought things against you. But I want to let you know that you have a peace inside. You can have a peace inside. You can have a strength inside. Amen. The devil is an awful adversary, and at times you find no help, and you find yourself troubled at the idea that there is no hope in sight. You find yourself helpless. Amen. Pray for me tonight. I'm having a hard time. I'm sorry, church. But you find yourself helpless. You know, David goes on in writing. He says, "Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God." No help for him in God. Now, there's a lot of different people that could have wrote this, and it may not even mean anything to you with David writing it, but when I read that verse, I got thinking about the man that slew a giant, a young boy that killed a lion, that killed a bear, and you know, a young boy that had a touch of God in his life. And you look at him and you say, this is a warrior. This is a man that knows how to handle himself in stressful and in hard situations. Yet even though he knew how to handle himself with a sword and with a spear, he was declared helpless. They didn't just say that he can't do anything about it, but they said there's no helping God for what he's doing. For where he's at, God can't even move where he's at. And you know, there's so often in our lives that we get to a place and we begin to wonder if even God can help us where we are. It's not simply other people saying, well, the God can't help you. In fact, maybe the exact opposite. People trying to help you and tell you God's able to move in your life, but inside you feel like you're helpless and there's nothing that you can do about it and there's nothing that God can do about it. Helpless. Have you ever felt helpless before? Have you ever been to that place in your life where you felt like there's nothing that you can do to change where you are at? Amen. You may have grown weary trying to pray about it and be convinced that there's no help for you in God. Just as this. I may have told this illustration here before, but several years ago, there's a teacher assigned to visit children in the hospital, and her job there was to talk to them and try to help them to not get so far behind in their schoolwork from being there. And she got there one day to work, and she looked through her schedule, and there was a young boy that she was supposed to visit, and she was supposed to teach him about nouns and adverbs. Remember trying to teach me that stuff, Sister Norvell? She was supposed to teach him about nouns and adverbs. And so she gets her stuff and she prepares and she goes into this children's ward there at the hospital and she walks in. And when she gets in there, she sees this young man that is so burned and so horribly just messed up on his face. And he went through horrible time and in a very bad shape and critical condition. And it just did something to her seeing this young man in this position that he was in, and it took her off guard, and she really felt like she did more harm than good, and she tried to stumble through the lesson as she could, and as she was going, she finally just got out of there and as quick as she could, and she was just so ashamed at herself at what she felt she did to this young boy by possibly bringing his attention to how bad he really looked and all this. And later on, the next day, she came back to the hospital to go to work again. And one of the nurses came to her and said, "What did you do to that young man?" And as she looked at her, and she just started apologizing. She said, "I'm sorry. I didn't know. I'm sorry. I know that I messed up big time, and I was talking to him, and I probably did a horrible job." And the nurse stopped her and said, "No, that's not what I'm talking to you about." She said, "But since you came and talked to that young man, There's been something different about him. He's responding to treatment. It's almost as if he wants to live once again. And I'm just wondering, what did you do to him? And she said, I didn't do anything. There's nothing that I said. If anything, I thought I may have done more harm than good. And finally, she got the opportunity to go to this young man again and talk to him. And she said, what did I say to you that may have helped you? And he looked at her, and it's just a young boy. And he said, well, teacher, he said, it's not what you said that helped me. He said, it had nothing to do with you, really. He said, but I simply came to the realization that they wouldn't ask a teacher to come tell a dying boy about nouns and adverbs. And you know, you may be at that place in your life where you feel like there's no hope, and you feel like that there's nothing left, and that there's no other chances, and the way it's been is the way it's going to be, and you've been having this situation for a long time. But I want to let you know that God does not send a messenger by to let you know that there is hope if there is no hope. He doesn't want me to come and tell you that there's a shield today for you if there was not a defense for your situation. And I want to let you know tonight that God can be your shield and your shelter through whatever you face, because he will be there for you. I want to tell you just a few more moments on the shelter of the Savior. The psalmist here goes on about the things he faces and how hard it seems around him, but even though he does this, he acknowledges his defense. David was a man of battle, and he knew the shield is something you use in a situation of attack or defense. But he was telling God, yes, my life is being destroyed, and yes, I do not see a way out, but you are the shield for me. See, a shield does not keep any attack from coming. A shield will never keep somebody from attacking you. A defense will never keep hardship from coming. But what that shield is for, that when the fire comes, when the trials come, that there's something there to take the brunt impact of it. There's something there to take the load off of you, something to keep you safe through the attack. You know, and so often in life, we go, there's these churches everywhere that tell you, if you know you're doing right, no trouble's going to come. But I want to let you know that trial's going to come. It's going to get hard, and you will get weary. But when the trial comes, you have someone that is your shelter. You have someone that is your shield, that is your deliverer. And if you turn to him, he will protect you. Amen. God will not always keep the attack from coming your way, but he will be your defense when it comes. Amen. Now the moment you've all been waiting for. If I could get a piano player to please come. I'm not picky. Anybody that wants to. But, amen, I'm praying for this message, and I really wanted to deliver my heart to y'all and deliver what God wants for y'all. And in the song service, we talked about he will carry you. And you know, we went on about he is God alone in the good times and the bad. And you know, and I can't help but think that you're here and you've been going through a trial in your life. Maybe it's been a day, maybe it's been 2 hours, maybe it's been for years you've been battling something. But I want to let you know that God is a strong tower for his people. Let me read to you real quick. Proverbs 18 and 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Psalm 61, 1. Hear my cry, O God, and tend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. Amen. I'm so glad that I serve a God that even though the trial comes, even though the troubles of this life may happen, I have someone I can turn to. Amen. I can have someone to protect me. Brother Taylor preaches that he's the president out there at the school. He gives us this saying quite often. And he says there's only three positions in life in which you can be, and that's in the middle of a storm, you just got out of a storm, or you get ready to go into a storm. And you know, at first that sounds kind of like a pessimist speaking, but really in life it's very true. And so in that, I've realized that there's no shame in going through a trial. There's no shame in admitting that you're stumbling and that you're falling, that you're having a hard time. Because the God of this world, God, he's able to help you right where you're at. He's able to move in you. You know, Brother Brian said something. He said that we don't serve a God of stone or of wood. And, you know, he knows what we're going through. And yes, I'm so glad I serve a God that knows what I'm going through. But really, if he simply knew what we're going through, that wouldn't make him any different than Brother Hurst or Brother Brian if he just knew what was going on in our lives. Because I could tell them all about what I face. But he can intervene. He can be the one that takes you through the storm. And you know, Brother Brian and me are friends, but no matter how much he knows about my situation, he can't change it. But God can. I'm so glad I serve a God that can change my situation. Hey man, if you'd all stand with me, I'd simply ask that you're here, and I know that there's people here that are going through a trial. I know you're here and you've been fighting things, and you may be down and you may be depressed, and I'll tell you what, you may get up from this altar and you may feel like nothing's different. But I'll let you know, if this time you come and the next time you come and the next time you come and you continually say, God, here I am, here's my situation, he'll take care of you. Amen. Church, why don't we come? I'd ask that we'd pray. And ask that we could ask God to have his way and to be our shelter and to be our shield.